Jamie Brown, it is good to be back for two shows in a row here in the Circle and Rectangle Show. And we're doing a long distance show. I'm away for work and Jamie Brown is in a closet again.
Yeah, hiding away in my little second bedroom in my luxury apartment in Cronulla. But you're down in Canberra where MacArthur should be.
It's a closet.
Isn't it?
Yeah, home of Canberra United. Good women's A-League team down here. Should have a men's team, absolutely. Yep. But instead, we have an inconvenience up here in Sydney. Down in Canberra for the good old times, not because I want to be here. But look, A-League men's action kicked off again this weekend. And what a game to open up the season. Oh, man, what a game. What a round we had. Good games all around. Only three wins out of a possible six, I think. Two draws, one
three
washout.
Wins.
Three victories. So
yeah,
what does that mean,
your team
Jamie Brown?
This week.
I didn't, mate. We're
goals.
The best team in Sydney. I don't think you and me. There was goals, and we have Western Sydney Wanderers' best team in Sydney. So I don't see how this could have been a worse weekend.
Yeah, I can't argue with your best team in New South Wales. Two teams didn't play, but let's put an asterisk on that.
We are top of the New South Wales teams just because two of them didn't play. Probably would have been a draw anyway. We had an inconvenience up in Brisbane, failed to score a goal. See what happens when they play an A-League opposition and not some semi-professionals. And we had the big blue. So, look, Jamie Brown, do you think we should get into maybe some results for this week?
Yeah, let's get into them.
The results are in.
That's right. The results are in for round one of the A-League men's action, and it kicked off last Friday night with a grand final replay. Jamie Brown, take us through this one.
It was Melbourne City, minor premiers or whatever we call that, up against Western United, the champions, and it was Melbourne City coming out with a 2-1 win in a really good game, much like we sort of thought it would go. Melbourne City are far better than Western United. They are incredibly overrated. Lucky to get the goal that they did. What?
I don't know if you can say far better. It was a 2-1 win.
They dominated.
They only scored one goal. They scored one goal. The other one was an own goal.
VAR is bullshit.
About the other week. Don't worry about the VAR. VAR is useless. Don't worry. You can't get hung up on VAR, mate. That's all it is.
All I want to know is how many of you had LaCroix in your fantasy team, Troy?
I know Troy definitely did. I could say a few more would have. He was easily the best centre-back last year. Scored a lot of goals, kept a lot of clean sheets. But you know what? If the opposition can't score, might as well score it in your own net.
That's it. Have your own fun.
Make things spicy, you know?
He did almost score a goal for them early in the second.
He did.
He was very good in the first half.
A bit of calamity at the back between him and Tomoki.
Tommy Glover was on fire.
Leo LaCroix is goal scorer number one of this A-League season.
Yeah. We'll move on to the next game, which saw the Brisbane Roar 0 against the MacArthur Bulls, also 0. I guess probably the best thing to do is to let Charlie Austin describe or sum this one up for us.
0-0, fair to say, a little bit frustrating at times, I suppose, for both sides in that.
Nah, we battered them, mate. We battered them first half, battered them second half. They could have scored first half, our own mistake. Keeper makes a good save from me. Listen, I think we was the better side overall. Disappointing not to come away from three, but I tell you what, you look at the bigger picture. I don't care what anyone says about Brisbane Roar, what's happened over last year and this, that and the other. We showed today that we're in for the fight and we're putting a great performance.
Love to get your thoughts on the A-League after your first game.
Yeah, brilliant. Listen, the FFA Cup is good. It's competitive games, of course, but nothing suits you to league football. It don't matter where you play in the country. So to get back playing in the A-League now is important. And for me, that shows what it's about. And it's nice to get the first game under my belt, like I said. But it gives us a starting block. We've got a tough one next Friday, haven't we? Let's be honest, against Melbourne City. I watched them last night. They look very good. So, look, it's going to be tough. But
Don't you just love it, Jamie Brown, when a professional footballer is bagging out MacArthur FC, it makes us look like geniuses because we're not just lunatics that hate it. When a professional footballer speaks his mind, which is good to hear from a post-match interview, speaks his mind and said, yeah, we battered them in the first half, we battered them in the second. But unfortunately, Charlie, batterings don't get you 3 points, goals do, and neither team did that.
I mean, when a professional footballer is telling you that another professional side is not that good and that they battered them, it kind of goes along with what we've been saying about MacArthur for a long time now. They're just not very good.
I'm telling you, we're not lunatics. We are not delusional. We are somewhat level-headed and we know what we're talking about. Because there's another thing that I'm an absolute genius on, but we'll talk about that when that segment comes up. Jamie's going to fucking love it. But look, yeah, it was actually a really entertaining game between Brisbane Roar and MacArthur FC. But yeah, as Jamie said, it's interesting to see how good MacArthur actually are when they come up against professional opposition and not just Sunday leaguers.
Yeah. Daniel Arzani. So, he's not
nil good. All. An inconvenience. Doesn't come away with 3 points, which is good for us.
I mean,
what's not good for you, Jamie Brown, is no points at all.
Yeah, I was just going to skip over this one, but Newcastle and the Mariners was a washout game, so we won't do that one. But yeah, I think the game Jared was alluding
torrential
to.
Torrential rain.
The
absolutely, it's very disappointing for Newcastle Jets fan Jamie Brown.
There was a lot of Jets fans down there for that game, but I felt bad for them. That 1.5 hour trip from Newcastle to Gosford. Unlucky that they didn't get to see. Honestly, I think they could have beaten the Mariners, although the Cumdog was playing, so he would have scored a couple of goals. But
look, is it back-to-back years that torrential rain has plagued the F3 derby round one? Because I believe it was last year, round one, up in Newcastle, where it was absolutely bucketing down.
Yeah, I was going to say Newcastle, yeah. I mean, it's just that you want to live on the north.
Mother Nature doesn't like an F3 derby.
I mean, does anyone like the F3 derby?
I enjoy the F3 derby. It's very spiteful. But enough about the F3 derby that didn't happen. What did happen was a big blue, the derby that Sydney FC fans care about more. I don't know why, because you can't win it. 3-2.
So the way I describe it to people who don't understand is, like, I was talking to some Manchester United fans yesterday at a football tournament, and they kept saying, we'd rather you win the league as Manchester City fans than Liverpool. And that's the way I would describe it to a Wanderers fan. I would rather you win the league than Melbourne Victory, because I fucking hate Melbourne Victory with a passion. And unfortunately, on this night, despite the fact that we played incredibly good and Robert Mack got the first goal at the new Allianz, our defense is garbage and terrible and we can't organize it. And we got, you know, destroyed with the same play, back-to-back goals to, you know,
twice,
consign us to a 3-2 defeat. Yeah, twice. Yep, the exact same thing, different sides. But, you know, first it was Economides scoring at the back corner. And then,
with import Nani getting his first assist of the league. Mate, how does it feel to concede two sweaty goals as a professional football team?
It wasn't good. I didn't handle it very well, considering we just scored to make it 2-2 and I was starting to feel good. We were starting to get the attack going again. And then about 5 minutes later, they went down the other end and did it exactly the same way. So, defensively, we're terrible. But when you've got
a shit game, but
effectively, like, I mean, we have a center back that is, you know, slower than, I don't know, something incredibly slow. I don't know. Take your pick.
Slower than a wet week, mate?
Yeah, like Alex Wilkinson is just, I can't even describe it, but watching him turn and try and chase down the ball when Agostinho had a 20-meter, like he had a 20-meter head start on Agostinho, was just incredibly hilarious, the fact that he, you know, got beaten to the ball by Miles. Luckily, he managed to foul him to stop the play, but I don't know what we do. We've got Gerd on the bench, who's a young fella. Yeah, he's young, but, I mean, at least he's quick. You know, he scored goals in the cup. Yeah, it was against Oakley Cannons and another NPL side, but, hey, at least he's pretty solid watching him in NPL. Big game to bring him into, especially when Wilkinson went off injured, and instead of putting him on, we just put Paolo Retre, the turnstile, at right back and Ryan Grant into the center. I don't understand that, but, you know, we're doing results. This isn't about my grievances. I'm still slightly positive despite the fact that we lost.
There was two highlights for me from this game. One of them was the fact that you guys lost.
You hate Melbourne too. For me.
I hate everyone. I'm a Western Sydney fan. I hate everyone. But the other highlight for me was Ryan Grant absolutely poleaxing the referee.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
That was funny. But sorry, there was three highlights for me for this game. And the third one makes me look like a genius. What did I say last week, Jamie Brown?
I can't recall.
That's because you don't want to recall. But what I said was, why would anyone pay someone more money to sit on the physio table than play football? And you wouldn't believe it. Jack Rodwell, groin injury, not playing round one, and rumours are possibly out for up to 10 weeks.
Yeah, that was news that you delivered to me before we came on air. And Yeah, I mean, your message before the kickoff, Rodwell out for this game with a groin injury. As soon as you sent me that, I couldn't help but laugh. Like, you were exactly, that's exactly what you said. A lot of money for a guy who's going to spend more time in the physio room and on the pitch. And yeah, looks like you're right. Possibly 10 weeks out.
Possibly 10 weeks. That's only speculation at the moment. We don't have confirmed updates from Sydney FC. But look, you guys are plagued with groin injuries at the moment because that's what Wilkinson went off the pitch with. You are struggling for centre-backs.
Yeah, I think Wilkinson was more... He got studded on by D'Agostino, which probably should have been a red card because Alex came in with the ball clean, like clean as he was passing it away. D'Agostino sort of stomped down like in a jumping motion. So the dog should have probably been red carded. Luckily for me, he'd scored for my fantasy team already, so it wouldn't have mattered. It would have been a bit of a negative, but that was what it looked like he had an issue with from the moment it happened. But there was, yeah, a pre-existing apparent groin injury that he went into the game with. And I won't go into Corica's dodgy tactical moves, but yeah, we are. Yeah, we're not good. We're not really good in the back.
No, I don't think good at all. But look, I mean, we can dwell on the big blue all we want. Well, Joe Lolly, mate, what a superstar he is. He very unlucky to not score a goal on debut.
Oh, fucking Izzo,
mate.
I'm
telling you, he's good.
Yeah, Lolly's fantastic.
I'm telling you, Joe Lolly's good.
And so's Mac. Like, I was stunned at how well he could dominate that sort of left side of the field. I mean, the little intricate passing play with Caceres to get his goal was fantastic. He looked deadly. And of course, because he looked really deadly, Corica bought him off. Because that makes so much fucking sense, you know?
Yeah. Why would you leave someone out there who's making that much of an impact? Like, honestly, that's just ridiculous. Bring him off and play your shit players again.
Yeah, you can't say match fitness because, yeah, it's the first game, but they've played preseason. They've gone through the trials. You know, Joe Lolly looked pretty good for 80 minutes until, you know, second best player on the pitch. What do? You take him off. But to be fair, Wood's pretty good off the bench, so it wasn't a total negative. But, yeah, we'll move on to that.
Yeah, Paddy Wood off the bench is good for you guys. But, yeah, look, you know what? I like bashing MacArthur. I can ramble on about this game and how pleasing it made me. But, yeah, we'll move on to the Sunday fixtures where we saw the first red card of the A-League men's season in Wellington Phoenix's 1-1 draw with Adelaide United. Wellington new boy Sase, straight red card in the 25th minute. I say unfortunate, but it's a red card for me.
Yeah, when I saw it, you don't want that to be a red card because he's slipping, but, you know, it's out of control. It is dangerous, so it probably justified the red card, but I guess you could say Sass got a bit sassy. Been holding on to that one for a while.
Sass was sassy, and that's why you don't write the jokes for this show. But in the end, 1-1 draw. Wellington Phoenix playing good at the cake tin. Playing well at the cake tin. It's good to see the Wellington fans get their kit off again.
Yep.
But unfortunately for them, in the 93rd minute, Ben Halloran with a wonderful strike to equalise. You're heartbroken for the Wellington fans. They've had a tough few years back at the cake tin. It looks like they're going to walk away with all 3 points in their first game. And then Ben Halloran just with that wonderful strike to bring the point for Adelaide. Any thoughts on that game, Jamie Brien?
Yeah, I'm getting sick of Adelaide pulling out these draws in the last fucking minute of the game. They're doing it way too much. It's making me scared. Like a 2-1 lead in the 95th minute is not safe against Adelaide. It's just not. But credit to Wellington going down a man so early. It just shows to the tactical genius that Ufuk-Tale is that he can go down a man and still look more threatening than Sydney FC did. It's incredible. So, God, I hope we sack Corica and bring Tale in. But it was a good game. It was entertaining. Wellington Phoenix getting their kits off. I swear the rule used to be when they were 3-0 up, they started taking their shirts off, but I guess they don't get 3-0 up much anymore.
They've waited a long time. I don't give a fuck. Just get your kit off.
Should have been swing just shirts shirt off around, walking into the care. Grounds.
I feel like there should be a dress code at the cake tin, and shirts are not one of them. Not allowed in the venue. Yeah. You know how some venues you're not allowed to wear
no
sandals.
No shirt, no shoes, yes, you're not
allowed
service.
To wear hats. Correct. That's the only way we should be allowed into the cake tin. But look, that was the 1-1 draw, the early game on the Sunday, and we go off to the penultimate game, which saw the Western Sydney Wanderers' first game at home against Perth Glory. Mate, it's a scrappy win, but a 1-0 win nonetheless. And probably, look, highlight for me for this game wasn't the football action on the pitch or the fact that we walked away with 3 points. It was F2 YouTuber Billy Wingrove leading the RBB in a march. and then joining in the celebrations. He was actually in the RBB when we scored our goal, and shit went mental.
Disgusting from that man. I was always a fan of the other guy.
He's a good man. Very good man, Billy Wingrove.
I was stunned that you guys only won 1-0.
Jeremy Lynch.
To be honest.
Look.
Yeah, Jeremy. I'm the ex-pro.
Yeah, correct. Look, yeah, 1-0 win, and neither team had any genuine chances besides the one that we scored and then the penalty that we missed. But look, at the end of the day, defensively, we looked very good. Looked very, very good. Marcelo is a freak. Michello is a freak.
Yeah, he was good for my fantasy team.
And Lawrence Thomas keeping us in it. Yeah. But
yeah.
Look, new boy, which I said will score goals, Suleiman Krpic with our goal, unfortunately missing a pen, which would have been good for us. If that pen goes in and we win 2-0, he missed one chance earlier. But other than that, look, as I said, 1-0 win. Milos Ninkovic looked good up front. Played about 7 minutes.
That shot was pretty pathetic.
He looks good.
Straight down the middle. Mate, terrible player.
Mate, he looks so good in that red and black. And for all those people in the Wanderers fans, yeah, 100% you have. You clowns.
But you wasted money on him. But yeah, you're paying him much, but
I don't think it's a waste of money. I said last week it was the underrated signing.
I would call it overrated.
Maybe did we waste a international spot on him? Possibly. And that was the big thing that Sydney FC didn't want to sign him for, because he takes up that international spot. But there is also rumours going around that Western Sydney Wanderers are fast-tracking his Australian citizenship.
Of course he'll get it now, you know. He's so much happier in the red and black, you know. We did nothing for him apparently at Sydney FC. 100%. We only fucking gave him a platform, made him relevant for the first time in his fucking career. But, you know, now he hates us. You know?
No. You did nothing for him.
Now I can't wait to that.
Mate, it's a good interview. If anyone, we might upload it on our TikTok channel soon, the interview with Milos Ninkovic about how he blasts Sydney FC. It's good. It's good listening.
We would not be doing anything of the sort. we would not be giving that terrible snake of a human any airtime. So what happened to the last Sydney FC player you stole from us? Janjetovic, how many games did he play?
Look, that man has a legitimate medical condition.
Yeah, I feel bad. Actually, I do feel bad for the way his career ended. It's, you know, to wake up one morning and just have that.
How dare you?
Yeah, but no, he's a scumbag player. But, you know, the way his career ended was sad because, you know, you wake up one morning and you have nerve damage. That's fucked. Like, I just sincerely hope somebody breaks Ninkovic's legs and that's how it ends for him. It's totally fine, right?
And you sincerely hope that person is you.
You know, who knows what I do at Allianz Stadium in that home derby? What's a life ban, you know? What's a life ban? But yeah, good win for you guys.
As long as you're recording it.
Yeah, it'd be great for us. I'm in jail recording with my phone call.
Yeah. But look, a great win for us, which means we go into a top of the table clash next weekend with Melbourne Victory. You guys have Melbourne City, but look, that's next week's games. Right now we've got to talk about this week's games. And there was goals, Jamie Brown, but there's only one goal of the week.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Oh, I like hearing that again. Feels good. Brenton Speed.
Such a good bit of commentary that.
We all remember what goal that was from Riley McGree, who's starring for Middlesbrough right now. So this week's goal of the week. Not a lot to choose from, to be honest. Some terrible goals for Melbourne Victory, an average goal for Sydney FC, a terrible goal for the Wanderers, but it had to go to Ben Halloran's perfectly placed side foot volley from outside the box that unfortunately gave them a 1-1 draw and a 95th minute equaliser yet again. Congratulations, Ben. Your this year's inaugural goal of the week.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, it was a wonderful strike. Wonderful strike from Ben Halloran. But also, I think the impact it made on the game, 93rd minute equaliser, just made it that much more special. But Ben Halloran, congratulations on the season 3's first ever goal of the week here on Circle and Rectangle Show. But we've got one last thing to go to before we end this show for this week, and it is Jamie's favourite topic. It's not his spray. We're going to bring back Jamie's spray eventually, but it is Hot Topics.
Yeah, I'm a hot topic. I'm a hot topic.
And we don't have that many hot topics to go through, but Jamie Brown's got two that he wants to get off his chest, so we'll go with him.
So we'll start with the negative because then we can finish on the high. But VAR, I fucking hate it. Melbourne City denied a legitimate goal to start their campaign. A well-worked goal as well. You know, Sean Evans, referee, didn't have a problem with it in the moment, and he was right there. He was about 10 metres away from it and looked at it. Goes to VAR, sees it in super slow-mo. the Western United player clearly backing into Berisha, which caused him to fall down, gets called a foul on Berisha, and they pull back a legitimate goal. I'm cool with VAR if it's consistent. The fact is, it's not consistent. No one knows how to rule on it. Like, I'd rather keep VAR for just offside decisions and, you know, turning a red card back to a yellow or a yellow to a red. This pathetic little shit where defender's backing in because he's realized he's misjudged the flight of the ball and then clips the legs of the defender who's, you know, running towards the ball. You can't be taking legitimate goals away, not for something soft and weak like that. Berisha, you know, didn't really affect him. They still won the game and he was pretty happy in his post-match things, but I'm over VAR in football in general. This isn't rugby league. We don't video replay every fucking goal. Every goal that was scored at the Big Blue, you had that nervous wait to see, oh, was he onside? Oh, was there any foul play in the lead-up? That's not football. Football is in the moment celebrating. If the flag goes up and it's not offside, I'll happily live with that to not have the anxiety of a goal going in and then having to wait 2 minutes before they decide whether or not it's a goal or not. I can't do it.
Yeah, look, as much as VAR has made some improvements to the game, as James said, I think it's just the inconsistency. When there was a foul that I would deem worse than the one that was overturned a goal the night before in the Brisbane and MacArthur game, where one was a foul to deny a goal, and that was given, but one was, I believe, very clear foul to not be given and award a penalty. I think, yeah, it's just the inconsistency where a lot of it, I think, now seems to favour the defending teams. And that's not what football is. We've always grown up with it. You favour the attackers, like especially with the offside rule, just because their shoulders are now past them, they're offside, where well, they're making a forward run, the defenders are flat-footed. But now the defender gets that opportunity to say, oh, well, he's offside. So I think that's the big inconsistency for me. And then the inconsistency with handball rules, but there hasn't been one yet, but surely VAR will fuck one up soon.
Like I was sure there was a handball in the box for Melbourne Victory in that derby, obviously a bit further away, but his hand was out and it clearly deviated. We didn't get to see a replay on the big screen. They did do a replay on another one that was clearly not a handball because it hit above the sleeve line, which is where they determined not the arm. But yeah, the inconsistency, this offside, the shoulder, unless it's a part of the body that can score a goal, it shouldn't be counted as offside. If his hand's offside because he's in a running motion, he's not going to score a goal with his hand, is he? So it shouldn't be counted.
For me, offsides is it's feet, where their feet are, and that's what really annoys me when, because the defender, the attacker's running forward and leaning forward because that's their motion, they're now offside even though their feet are behind the defender because the defender's flat-footed. And I feel like that's an inconsistency that needs to be really, really looked at. But my question to you now, Jamie, is where they say it determines by the sleeve line. If I'm wearing long sleeve shirts, does that mean my sleeve line is now at my wrist and I can use my entire arm?
I think it's actually like there's a sponsor mark on the sleeve. It's somewhere around the sponsor line. So I think that's what it's not technically the sleeve line. It's the sponsor line. So. So I think most of the clubs have a sponsor on their sleeve. So it's if it hits above the sleeve line, the sponsor line, they're going with not handball. So which I'm cool with.
Yeah, we'll see.
At least we know.
I've just given the rules. Like, mate, if I'm a club, I'm just making every shirt sleeve long sleeve and putting the sponsor right down next to my wrist.
Like down near the elbow.
It's a loophole that I'm now exploiting.
On the wrist.
Yeah, mate,
that's a sponsor line.
The rules.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think there's common sense in play, but like the one that they actually looked at in the derby, it was clearly like he leaned into it, but he leaned in with his shoulder. It probably hit him right near the point of the shoulder. So there were people bitching and whinging around saying it should have been a penalty because we were chasing the game and fair play. But I try to look at things non-biased as much as I can in those games. And I'm like, yeah, that's not handball as much as I wanted it to be. The first one, I got to look at the replay again, but I'm pretty sure the first one was a handball, but that second one, no chance. In the consistency of what they look at. But we'll get away from the negative and shitty referees, which is all we seem to have in the A-League, except for that Cam Wright or Brad Wright. I'm not sure which one's a linesman, but he's good.
I think both of them now.
There you go. They're top linesmen. Moving on to positive news, the Matildas, our girls, 4-1 win over South Africa over in London, 2 goals to Sydney FC's own Courtney Vine. Claire Polkenhorne, the legend, got one herself. And Caitlin Ford, who's starring for Arsenal, got one as well. I didn't write down who scored the South African goal because who cares? This is we're Matildas fans here, so yeah, who cares? 4-1 win.
Look,
I still don't think.
I'm going to question you,
good manager.
Yeah, that's my question to you, Jamie Brown. Look, is it positive news that Matildas won? Or because, like, yeah, we won the game, but similar to see if Sydney FC won, Tony Gustafsson is now keeping a job.
Yeah, I think the level of competition that they played against is, you have to factor that in. I think we probably should have won that game 7 or 8 nil when you look at how good our team is. We have Sam Kerr, enough said. So I still don't think, and we conceded a goal. So tactically, he just doesn't have it, much like Steve Corica. But hey, a win's a win. I'm happy the girls got a win. Courtney Vine getting her first brace for the Matildas is only positive for Sydney FC, although I wouldn't be surprised if she heads to Europe halfway through the W League season, or A League women's season, sorry. I'm stuck in my old ways. But hey, a win's a win. World Cup next year. He's got a certain amount of time to sort it out, and I don't think he's going to, but God, I hope we can do well in the World Cup. It'd be great for the game domestically for girls in this country.
Well, that's the only thing.
If the Matildas can go and at least make a final. God, we got a lot of football.
We have to, otherwise we'd be very disappointed. But look, yeah, Matildas getting up 4-1 victors over South Africa in London. It was a good day for football Saturday night for us. You had like two games of football with one unfortunately washed out, and then you had the Matildas kicking off directly after the Big Blue. It was a great weekend of football here in Australia. But look, I think that's enough for this week's episode of the Circling Rectangle Show. It's been a bit of a miscommunicated one as we are so far away and I'm in the middle of hell. No, I'm not in MacArthur, but close enough where MacArthur should be.
Yeah, if the audio quality is not good this week, I will apologize for last week because I fucked up the editing, and I'll probably fuck it up again this week. But, you know, when Jared's free and he's not working as hard as he is, he can edit the show and it'll be back to the usual good quality. But for the time being, I'll tell you what we got.
Yeah, that's the big unfortunate news for you guys. You have to listen to the quality of this show as determined by Jamie Brown.
Yep.
But look, we'll be back stronger very soon. Hopefully I'm not away much longer. But look, another fantastic week of A-League men's action coming up this weekend, including a few big games down in Melbourne. But look, Jamie Brown, it's good to talk to you again. It's good to have us two shows in a row. You want to go for three?
I think we can. It was just good to get to actual football games live in the flesh this weekend. That was the best part.
Both of us as well, which was good.
Yeah.
But look, yep, that's enough for us this week on the Circling Rectangle Show. We will catch you all next week.